Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
The Lord is good to us. We enjoy perhaps we're even a little bit selfish about the way in which the Holy Spirit moves in our midst and how God directs the and articulates to our hearts, I think speaks very well to our hearts, His will and His desire to do and move in great ways in our lives. Amen? Have you sensed that this morning? I mean, spiritually sensed the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And it's kind of interesting the way the Lord does that. It seems to me that He does it in such a variety of ways that it becomes exciting when you see someone participating in what the Holy Spirit's doing, and you realize that God is using them and their gifts and their talents and their abilities to flow through them to minister to other people. Did you know that's the job of the church? To minister to one another, to encourage one another, build one another up in the faith. That's part of our responsibility. And I appreciate that responsibility, because one of the coolest things as a pastor is to be able to pray for somebody and then have them come back a week or so later and say, hey, man, this is what God did when you prayed, or the group of you prayed for me, and I trusted the Lord, and this is how He worked it out. And you know what's really unique about it? God always works it out in a way that undeniably only God could have done that. Have you experienced that? Yeah, doesn't that just thrill you? You realize, man, this couldn't be anything else but God. Only God could do this. And so I just want to encourage you this morning to let the Lord continue to move in your life. He has great plans for you. He has a purpose for you. He's looking out for you. He's providing for you. But ultimately, His goal is to draw you closer to Him, amen? So that while you're worshiping, while you're serving, while you're working every day out on your job, living out in the community, that you'll be reflecting, just be a little ember of His light out there, reflecting to other people His great love and His passion for people, amen? Good stuff. I want you to turn with me quickly, if you would, to the book of Acts. In the 22nd chapter, I want to read a little scripture to you and share a little bit with you and remind you of some great things that God has done, that I believe God has done in the past. And I think what I want to share with you will confirm for you that I think God was the originator of some of the great things we really are recipients of and should be proud of. I want to begin reading in the 22nd verse of chapter 22, because it begins the new thought. It's a new paragraph, and I want to read down a ways for you to get a picture, and hopefully I don't interrupt it by preaching in between words here, but let me read a few verses, well, several verses for you. Acts 22:22, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, or however you pronounce it, that he might know whereof they cried so against him. And as they bound him with tongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. on the morning because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded that the chief priests and their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. And then there's a whole discourse that Paul unleashes upon them at that point. I chose this scripture this morning because of the concepts that are contained within this a portion of scripture. One of the things that I have discovered, and maybe you have not yet, depending on how old you are, but I know many of you have discovered this same thing. I believe that the United States of America was created by God. Now, some of you may disagree with that on religious terminology, and you might object to that in political point of view. Personally, I don't care how you think. I just believe what I believe, and that's the way it is. And so if you don't like that, I'm sorry. But the reason I do that, in a moment I'll give you some evidence of that. I believe that God has always meant that man be free, and that freedom should be something that is deeply cherished and appreciated, both in a civil setting and I think also in a spiritual setting. And I don't mean to make the mistake that some might make in combining the two. I think there is a necessity of a form of separation, although I may not always agree with a separation from civil authority and biblical authority. I think, in my opinion, civil authority is granted on the basis of biblical authority. But that's just my opinion. Again, you may not agree with that. But one of the things I think you will agree with is that we're the freest people on the planet. We still, although we may object to what we see happening in our nation today, I still believe that innately within us, within every one of us sitting here, whether we're challenged in that area yet or not, I still believe placed somehow in the hearts of men, God has placed a nugget of desire for freedom, to be free, to be not necessarily not ruled or governed. That's not necessarily what that freedom means, because there are always rules and regulations necessary for the control of the wayward, rebellious people. And I don't want to point to anybody mentioned by name, Carolyn Morford putting her stand back because she's in great rebellion in this church. But we do have some freedoms to even be rebellious, I think. I think that innately in every one of us, I think God has placed a spark in all, even in the most primitive, what we would consider the most primitive places on the planet. Men still don't want to be dictated to. They don't want to be controlled. They don't want to be lorded over. They don't want to have any tyranny over them. They want to be free to pursue happiness, to pursue a life, pursue prosperity, or whatever we may want to be pursuing on our own basis. But I believe every heart desires to have that kind of freedom. And the only place on the planet that I know has that much freedom is still the United States of America. And in a moment, I want to show you what I think is the evidence that God was involved in the origins of this nation, not only because I believe it was based on spiritual principles, but I think the men that did it had a great desire to see God established as the leader, if not the Lord, of this nation. Now, some people who don't believe in Christ, don't want to serve God, they have the perfect right, as part of the freedom that we possess, to disagree with me, and the freedom not to observe what I observe, and that is to service and observe my dedication and commitment to Christ. You're free to do just the opposite if you want to, and that's the greatness of this land. This land has survived with opposition. Opposition from without and opposition from within. That's why we call ourselves free. We are free to disagree. We don't all have to have the same view. We don't have to have what we should believe dictated to us by a central party or government. Amen? Does that make sense to you? So freedom goes beyond even what we're thinking. Our young people today, God bless their pea-picking hearts, don't have a clue yet. They may be getting, the older young people here today are probably getting a taste, especially if you're 18 years or older. And by the way, I always say this about this time, if you're 18 years old or older and have not registered to vote, I've got four ushers that will take you right out back here and explain to you the real reasons why you should register to vote. Amen? I'm kidding. But if you have not, about the ushers. I'm kidding about that. But if you have not registered to vote, I beg before the Lord that you will take your civic responsibility to heart. Register to vote. I can't tell you how to vote. That has to be by your own conscience. But please, by all means, register to vote and vote in this coming election, because it is a very serious election, because what we have just had happen to us by the Supreme Court and by other things, and there are different views on the importance of that and what that means to us. What I do know is this, that in the issue that the Supreme Court was dealing with, contained in that law are demands and requirements that strike against my personal spiritual convictions. I don't know how you feel. I'm not one that tries to put my convictions off on you. I try to teach you what the Scripture says. You develop your own convictions according to that. As you have that, I have that freedom, so do you have that freedom. By the way, you can know if a church is really a good church if they allow you the freedom to think for yourself. Are you with me? I'm not dictating to you what to do or what to say or how to vote, but I am encouraging you to live according to the Scripture and what civil responsibilities and privileges that you have, that you exercise them as a godly person. With that in mind, I'll be comfortable no matter how you vote, even if you vote opposite of what I vote. If you're voting a conscience that has been developed on biblical principles, I have no argument with how you vote. That's your privilege, your right, you do whatever you want to. But I encourage you to register and vote if you have not registered yet. I don't care how old you are. There may be adults here that haven't registered to vote. And what I don't like to have happen is for them to come to me and gripe to me how we're losing our freedom every day and they don't vote. Because what I say to those persons, fortunately not too many of them come to me and say that, because maybe they already know what I will say in return. I will tell them, just shut up, don't talk to me. Because if you have not voted, you don't have a right to say anything. Say it to yourself, say it to your wife, but don't tell it to me. If you do vote, you have every right to give me your opinion whatsoever. Because on that basis, I respect your opinion, because you did something about what you believe. Are you still with me? And I respect that, and I honor that. And so I think part of what God has placed in us, regardless of whether we're being threatened directly or not, we are being threatened by some of the legislation. And one of the things that I know, remember how I warned you that if they're coming against the Catholic Church, that don't wait, fight, join with them and fight, because it won't be long before the alligator is going to be coming at your doorstep. I don't know how you believe about these things, but I personally, my personal opinion is that abortion is wrong, that abortion is murder, that it is the taking of a life. Now, with that being said, let me also qualify that. People have made mistakes. People have probably in this very church have had abortions. I don't know. I don't go around trying to find out news like that. But with that being said, those that have done that, made that decision, and have realized the error of that and asked Jesus Christ to forgive them for that, they are clean and forgiven, and I agree, they are free, and I love them. And, well, I love them even if they don't know Christ. But I do believe that the practice of abortion is wrong. It's wrong for a nation. It's wrong for a city, a state. It's wrong, in my opinion, for an individual. And so what has happened that you don't maybe know is, but a part of that legislation requires you and I, requires every one of us to pay an abortion tax, because see, it's been deemed a tax now and not a health care legislation. It's been deemed a tax by our Supreme Court. Are you bored with this? Okay, hang with me then, because I don't want all of you to go to sleep. It has been deemed a tax. Therefore, every citizen is going to be taxed to pay for provided abortions. Abortion is now going to be publicly funded. Do you realize that we have fought against that since the beginning of Roe versus Wade, that the public, that those who have a conscience against abortion could opt out of that and it would not be a public funding of abortion? That has now been washed away. That has now been wiped away. Now every human being is going to be in the United States, every citizen, everyone that pays taxes, and everyone is going to be a part of this. You are going to be forced in your tax of buying health insurance. You're going to be taxed to pay for abortions. Yeah. For me, that strikes against my religious beliefs. And therefore, I'm sharing this message with you and encouraging you. Dear Lord, if you are with me in my thinking, vote and vote to get rid of those people who brought this upon us. Are you with me? I'm not telling you who to vote for. I cannot do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I can't by law tell you who to vote for. I'm just encouraging you to vote and vote for good policy, good godly policy. Amen? With all of that in mind, I still believe in everyone's heart, I don't care who they are, even those that oppose us politically or oppose my political view, it shouldn't always include you in this, but that oppose my political view, still base their desires on freedom. I want to have the freedom to choose what I want to do. Therefore, abortion has been made legalized by a radical court. But at any rate, a court that went against the will of the people and provided that opportunity, not by way of legislation. And so my point is this. Even in their heart, they think they're doing things for freedom. And what they don't realize is that they have instituted and provided for the means to destroy at date 53 million American citizens. 53 million people. Young lives have been snuffed out since Roe versus Wade. I don't care if you even believe in abortion, does that not tell you that there's something wrong with the practice? To me, any logical thinking person would understand that. And my intent is not to talk about abortion. My intent is to reflect on the fact that now we have a legislation that makes me pay for something I do not believe in. Amen. And I think that is unconstitutional. So vote. Will you please vote? I chose this portion of scripture this morning because it has a concept concealed in it that I think is the basis for every one of our enjoyment of freedom today. And I think freedom is not free. I think the price of freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. Freedom costs a great price. Since the Revolutionary War, we have fought many wars, some domestically and also foreign wars, to maintain our own personal freedom, which has successfully, by the way, since the Revolutionary War, has successfully prevented another foreign entity entering our land and fighting a war on our soil. So you should give God thanks for that. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you should thank our great military for their brilliance and their fortitude and their commitment and their sacrifice that they have made to ensure the fact that you could come here this morning by choice. Well, some of you came because your mom and dad made you come, but the rest of you that came by choice, you had the freedom. You chose whether to come or not to come. And because of that, you exercised something that someone else has provided for you. Freedom that the founders fought for and provided for us, the original 13 colonies beginning, but they fought for that freedom. And ever since that, every military person who has laid down their life for your freedom should never be taken lightly. I think it is a responsibility of every American citizen, whether Democrat or Republican, believer or unbeliever, doesn't make any difference. I think every citizen should deeply at some point stop and pause, hopefully on Veterans Days and other days that we commemorate and remember those that have fallen and made this ultimate sacrifice. But we should never let a very long period of time go by taking for granted the sacrifices other individuals have made so that you and I today sit here freely. Yes. Sit here freely. And those that, give God a hand for that. Praise the Lord. And I think we should also give a hand to all those men and women in the armed services who stand on the wall today to maintain our freedom. Don't you think that as well? Praise the Lord. With that all being said, I want to read a document for you. a part of a document. I don't have time to read the whole document for you, which I would love to do some time in the future, around the 4th of July, or maybe Veterans Day, or one of those other days that we commemorate the greatness of this land and the greatness of these our people. And you notice that I did not say any ethnic group. Did you hear me mention Irishmen at all? Or French, or Hispanic, or German. I didn't mention that. I said, we the people. We the people of this land, the citizens of that. And that citizen doesn't take into account anything other than the fact that you are a citizen of this country. Amen? And that there are rights and privileges that you bear and possess. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to that separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent, let me repeat that, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by the abolishing the forms which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under the absolute despotism, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such as is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over the states. To prove this, let the facts be submitted to candid world. He has refused the assent of laws, and most wholesomely and necessary for the public good, and they list a long line of grievances that they sent to the King of England to declare their independence from England. That document is a sacred document for this land, and the institution of our government is based on those freedoms outlined in this particular document. The pursuit of happiness and life and liberty are much of what we consider our great freedoms. I know that you're going through things that in your personal lives that cause you oftentimes to not pay a lot of attention to a whole lot of the things that are going on around about us. We can no longer, as a people, afford to be inactive. We can no longer afford to not be a participant in our own freedom. It requires us that we stand against the onslaught of those that would work and desire to dissolve the freedoms that you and I possess. Because it is happening so slowly, and probably since the 60s, we have not realized that we're like the frog put in the boil or in the water and remains in the water until it is fully boiled and takes his own life. Because it is so gradual, we don't realize that the freedoms that we really are guaranteed by our Constitution and are outlined as far as our motivation by the Declaration of Independence, we don't often realize that we're losing every one of those freedoms. And so I want to encourage you to realize the importance by remembering the scripture that I read for you a moment ago. See, one of the great things about the Roman Empire, now the Roman Empire is interesting. I couldn't give the whole history of the Roman Empire. But so I said, let me just talk about the time in which the Apostle Paul was living. At that time, the Roman Empire still encompassed most of the known civilized world. Anything outside it was considered not civilized. Anything inside the Roman Empire was considered civilized. Am I making sense? That's because they were self-absorbed, okay? We may think that same way, I don't know. But at any rate, the Roman Empire, most of the Western world was encompassed in the Roman Empire. That empire lasted nearly 2,000 years. They must have been doing something right. And one of the things that the Roman Empire did that was right is to honor the great importance of being a citizen of the empire. There were a lot of things that were bad about that. There's a lot of things like the deification of Caesars, the abuse of power by senators and all of that kind of thing, which we are probably well aware of in this country. But my point is, above all that, Rome was revered because Rome did something no other empire did, and that was grant freedom to its people, granting citizenship to the empire. And by doing so, made the people that received that citizenship built in incentive to preserve the empire. Are you following me? And so when you give someone freedom and a citizenship and call them a part of this empire, that gives them ownership of the empire, which is exactly what our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution grants us. We now have a stake in our own freedom. We now, by being citizens of this land, are similar to the Romans because we deeply appreciate and revere and respect and honor what that means to be a citizen of this land. And so consequently, there were great rules around citizenship. And because it was such a difficult thing to achieve, if you were not a citizen, because it would cost you a great price. I don't know if you've ever seen Ben-Hur, or if you've ever seen Spartacus, or any of those movies that had, they were fighting off the tyrannical power of the Roman Empire. But those that fought as gladiators in the arena in Rome, if you won so many battles in that arena, you were given your freedom. You became a citizen. It took you a high price, and you were at risk of death every time you went into the arena to fight another gladiator. And so there was a great personal price that was made. And the scripture that I read for you, you'll notice that these two gentlemen, the centurion and the captain, both became fearful. In fact, when Paul proclaims, this is what's awesome. You see, it's kind of similar today. If you were in a foreign country and something happens to you, you lose your passport or you lose your documentation or any of that nature, you as an American citizen can go to the American consulate. There are consulates all over this world. And they are basically, whatever land they possess is basically this land. It is you still with me? I don't want to bore you to death. If you don't want to hear these kinds of things, just let me know. Raise your hand. You're afraid to raise your hand, weren't you? Now, see, if Clayton was here, he would have raised his hand. He's a good man. But it's similar. Wherever the Roman Empire extended, and any consulate in any land, and next time you go to a foreign land and you need help, you go to the American consulate. They will fight for you. They will get your documents for you. They'll make it possible for you to get out of that land and get back home if necessary, that kind of thing. And so they'll go to battle for you. And so one of the great things about being an American citizen, it has a lot of privileges that comes with it, along with a lot of responsibilities. But in Jesus' day, that similar thing was in the Roman Empire. And the reason these men were nervous, because the Apostle Paul called upon his rights. Isn't this interesting? He doesn't call upon his spiritual rights, although both before and after this portion of Scripture, he declares to religious people his religious rights. that he was an observer of God, a follower of God, even got Christians arrested and thrown in jail and put to death. So he gave them his religious rights. That didn't do a thing for him. But as he's being arrested because those people wanted to kill him because he exercised his religious rights, because they wanted to kill him, a big row happened in the Roman Empire. The soldiers, the law, we have policemen, the law were soldiers. They came in and rescued him, in essence, even though they bound him. See, one of the rules of being a citizen is, unless you are condemned, unless you have a charge brought against you. See, we have something similar in America. It's called habeas corpus. Do you know what that is? Have you ever been arrested? Go ahead, raise your hand. Ever been arrested? I have. Okay. So you've been arrested. So you know, you have habeas corpus. They can only hold you for so many hours until they have to release, either charge you or release you. Amen? That's a good law. And I love the other law that we have, the law of appeal. And you'll see that that works very well also with the Apostle Paul. But see, we don't have the kind of laws that the Roman had. Because see, if you bound a Roman citizen, if you handcuffed a Roman citizen that had not been charged, the penalty was that you died. Whoever cuffed him paid the price. You cannot bind a Roman citizen that has not been charged with a crime. You see, he was going to have Paul taken to jail and whipped to find out what he had done wrong to cause this riot. See, the Romans only were cared about, they were peacemakers. They wanted to keep peace. So the next time a police officer pulls you over because you're doing 65 in a 25-mile-an-hour zone, anybody ever done that? The next time, realize that he is trying to keep the peace, okay? Although you're probably not very peaceful at that moment, that's ultimately why they're called peacemakers, because originally they kept people from rioting and that kind of thing. So Paul appeals to his civil right. Isn't it interesting that our civil rights are so directly linked to our spiritual rights? You see, still in this country, we can come here and worship. In fact, we can worship in this church any way we want to, as long as it does not threaten personal life or limb. Now, that comes into question sometimes when those of you that like to wave flags with a big old banner and stick and you whack somebody sitting next to you, see, then it becomes civil. Then the lawsuit comes up and our insurance has to pay and we have to ask you to leave the church. We want no more whacking on the head going on, you know what I'm saying? And so it's very interesting to me how God uses our civil liberties to promote his spiritual liberties. Amen? So we know that these men were nervous, because that's why the one comes over to him and says, hey, wait, be careful how you treat this guy, because he's a Roman citizen. Now, this guy comes to him and he makes an important statement. He comes to the Apostle Paul to verify that. Are you a Roman? And the Apostle Paul says, yes. This man mentions to him, I paid a great price. By the way, all freedom requires a great price. I paid a great price to be a free Roman citizen, to obtain those privileges. My guess is, as a soldier, he fought many campaigns, and valiantly so, and stood for the success of the empire. And he was rewarded with that, and I'm sure a great price to purchase. Now, you could purchase your citizenship. The Apostle Paul makes an awesome statement that you and I, many of us, can make that statement. We are freeborn citizens. We don't really conceive how awesome that really is. The privilege and the rights that come with that, we don't often have to exercise them. We don't always have to go to some legal extent to exercise our rights as a citizen. But you need to understand some things about it. You need to understand what freedom really means to you. It means that you can get up in this church service, praise the Lord any way you feel of your own heart, like I said, except bonking people on the head with a stick. You can also choose not to come here. You can also choose to go to any other church. You can also choose not to go to church at all. You can also choose an infinite amount of freedoms that you have as a citizen of this country. Requirements, yeah, something that's going to happen to all of us. We're all going to die at some point. We're also going to pay taxes all along the way. But the joy of the freedom is worth the sacrifice, because freedom is not free. Freedom is requiring us to do something to maintain our freedom. And so the Apostle Paul makes a very interesting statement that has so much power and victory behind it, because I'm thinking that he's not only exercising his freeborn freedom, he's freeborn, which means his parents were freeborn citizens, because when he's born, he's a citizen. So they had to have citizenship themselves. And so to be a freeborn citizen, you had to be born of citizens. And that's not important to a lot of us until we are threatened in that. Until that which is a privilege of your right is threatened. And I'm just convinced that your freeborn rights are being more and more threatened today than ever before in the history of America. And because of that, we are going to have to do some horrible things, and that's going to be, we're going to have to make sacrifices. And that's one of the reasons why on the 13th and the 14th, which I reminded you of today, and I want you to all participate in if you possibly can, and we're going to spend a day, 24 hours of prayer for the next few months prior to the election, praying for our officials, praying for our people, praying for our people to wake up and not so willingly surrender our rights. Because what's so bad about it is a small number are willing to surrender it, but it affects all of us.
Yes, it does.
If they want to surrender their freedom, I say move to a place where there's no freedom. If that's the way you want to live, go there. But don't make the rest of us have to live without the freedoms that we have enjoyed. You see, the problem with the young people today, that's not a problem with them, but the problem that arises is that our young people who are now living under some of these freedoms that have been lost are accustomed to it. That's why in the Declaration of Independence, we have a tendency to suffer and be accustomed to it. See, even they knew human nature. We'll have a tendency not to rise up. Okay, all right, if it's only going to cost me that much, okay, that's all I'm going to, then it won't bother me. It may come to the point where your personal property and your person may be at stake for your freedom. One of the greatest things that illustrates for me, I had a friend that I worked with. I probably shouldn't say his name without his permission, but he's a good friend of mine. We were in the union together, and we worked together for the same contractor. And there was a big write-up about him, so maybe it's okay to say his name. It was in the newspaper. But his father went away to World War II and never returned. And I don't know what that... I've never had that happen to me. My father served for many, many years in the military. It was a lifer. He was one of those retire kind of guys, out of the military kind of guy. And he made plenty of sacrifices, I'm sure. But Amos never knew his dad. His dad died when he was very, very young, obviously. But he had this desire to go and see where his father had been laid to rest. And so he raised the money, and other people helped him raise the money as well. It almost became a community project. There were many people who sponsored him, and I think there were others that were going also to Normandy. Sometimes you've got to go back and touch your roots somewhere to realize the sacrifices that people in your own family have made so that you can come to church or whatever freedom you want to enjoy. And so he went over there. And I read the article and all that about his dad, and he died when they were storming the beaches of Normandy. And that's where he perished. And I don't know if you've ever seen pictures overlooking Normandy, but there's this big grassy area. Have you ever seen the pictures of it? It's probably one of the most famous pictures, and I describe it for you. It's just white crosses and stars of David in long, long rows, perfectly manicured, straight rows. And that's where his father is buried. And so he went to that. And when he came back, he was just, I talked to him when he after he'd come back, and it meant something. It did something in here. And one of the first things he talked about and shared with me was how much more he appreciated his freedom, because it was very deeply personal. It was a sacrifice that not only his dad made, but he made also by losing his dad. And so I don't know about you, but I think those kinds of things should mean something to us. It shouldn't be lofty speeches made by preachers. It should be the very thing that drives us as citizens of this country. And yet more than that, and more important than that, is what I think the Apostle Paul is understanding. Because see, the Apostle Paul is arrested here for a reason. If you'll remember, he's heading back to Jerusalem. And on his way, he stops at several locations at churches that he has either planted or he has ministered to and encouraged them. And one of the churches was Ephesus. And at Ephesus, the Holy Spirit moved upon a couple of people. Wouldn't it be awesome if God moved upon us like this to speak to us? Moved on a couple of people. So Paul, don't go there because you're going to be arrested. You're going to be bound if you go to Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit moved on these people to tell him that. And this always seems like a conflict to me. But sometimes the Holy Spirit uses people to confirm things in us, even though they say the opposite of what you know is true. Doesn't that sound weird? The Holy Spirit spoke to these men in Ephesus and told him the truth. Paul, and they didn't want him to go there. They wanted him to stay with him. And said, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem because they're going to bind you and they're going to want to kill you there. And it says that the Holy Spirit spoke this to them. And it's interesting how God sometimes has put things in our own hearts. And when others tell us don't go for these reasons, it confirms for us that we should go ahead and go and obey the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? It's a little weirdish, but it's like I've seen God do that. And so he says, I am compelled. That means there was a greater driving force than their concern for his life. He goes knowing that he is going to be bound and perhaps even killed. But do you know why he goes and why he's compelled? Because earlier the Holy Spirit also had told him, the Lord had told him, Paul, I've got to take you clear to the household to see. I'm going to take you to Rome to be a witness for me. And this is why I think even more important than our freedom as Christians is our freedom as citizens of the United States, is our freedom as Christians. Because regardless of what happens here politically, Jesus Christ has compelled us under any circumstances to free men from the bonds of sin, free men from the bonds of tyranny that the enemy has control over their lives. So if we stay true to the vision God has given us and the freedom that God has delivered to us through Jesus Christ and ensured in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we obey that, it makes no difference what happens in this country, although we're still required to fight for our political freedom and our civil freedom, we are much more required to continue to fight for the freedom that Christ has purchased for us. Amen. And that's why I want to encourage you this morning. Not just because it's near the 4th of July and I love fireworks. Well, I don't know why I even said that, but anyway. It's a well-known reputation that I have, so I might as well just address it. I say burn the world down with fireworks. If it's going to go, burn it with fireworks. And I've actually attempted that a couple of times. But I think the most important message Paul is giving us, and it's just couched there with such obvious power and evidence, that our nation was built upon these same principles, that we must trust God, because God is the one that's able to orchestrate and lead a nation. In fact, all the nations of this world, he can take control of them at any moment. But one of the greatest things he teaches us that is even more important than this land is to maintain the freedom we have in the kingdom of God. The kingdom that God has established. Did you know you have dual citizenship here this morning? Yes, sir. If you're a citizen of the United States, you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. It's probably the only greater freedom than we have than what we possess as American citizens. We have a freedom that will take us not only from this planet, but straight to the presence of the Lord God himself. One day, if he should tarry and we go by way of the grave, we'll slip through the grave and right into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. To be set free from the bonds of this body and the constraints of this body and to have my spirit liberated right into the presence of God is true freedom. Yes. And to be able to worship him any way I want to worship the Lord, except bonking around with flags and sticks. There may be no sticks in heaven, no bonkers in heaven. Of course, heaven may be so big they can just go all they want to and they won't hit nobody. Well, I know there won't be lawsuits, so go ahead and wave them. I don't care. Two things I want to say as I close. Man, I think I'm smelling burgers. Anybody else smelling that? Or is that just my imagination? Freedom's not free. And the Apostle Paul shows us that even when their freedom, their civil freedom is taken away, God's purposes will be accomplished in their lives. That's why I want to urge you spiritually to possess your freedom as a Christian and let God lead you to the purposes He has for your life. Part of your purposes is to be probably, you know, help in the vision of this church, but there may be greater purposes. You need to find out what the purpose God has for your life. Don't just go humdrum, nonchalant, cavalierly through this life as a Christian, because God has something designed for you and this church to do some great thing. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon us, upon all flesh in this last day, so that the old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions, and God will use us to do great exploits for the kingdom of God. That's what God has called upon. But we have a find out what your purpose is in the kingdom. Find out what it is in this church. And do it with all of your might. Because you not only secure your freedom spiritually, but you also ensure the freedom for the next generation to possess the same power and freedom that flows through us. Am I making any sense? My dad does not mind sacrificing all the sacrifices he made as a military man, because he knows it brought freedom to me and my generation and to the next generation as well. Every soldier that has ever laid down his life, it wasn't just fighting in a battle. Ultimately inside, every one of them knew that we were keeping freedom from the war landing on our shores. Yes, we're fighting tyranny. Yes, we have high and noble causes for all the battles that we've fought. Some of them have been noble and some of them have not been noble. But we have fought them with the idea that we're preventing warfare and safety and freedom for the people of this land. Since the Civil War, we have fought no wars on this. Well, they fought the Indians, and that wasn't fair, but anyway. But my point being is, all of our conflicts have been to keep the tyranny away from this land because we wanted to maintain the freedoms of this land. Jesus' purposes in your life are to help you fully enjoy your freedom. Exercise the authority and blessings that God has poured through your life, but to find complete fulfillment and a deeper appreciation and love for the freedom that Christ has given you by forgiving you of your sins and setting you at liberty to be a shining consulate for Him in this land, so that whoever comes in contact with you can find help and freedom through your exercise of your freedom, telling them how to find the same freedom that you possess. The more we set free, the freer we all become. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I know this is, when I say this, it's going to offend some people. When I say this, it's going to scare some people to death. But I'm going to say it anyway. Wouldn't it be awesome if one day, even you old conservative Christians may not like this, what I'm about to say. Because actually, I'm a pretty conservative Christian myself, but wouldn't it be awesome if our ceiling became as glass and the Holy Ghost fell upon us as cloven tongues of fire? We all begin to speak in our native tongues and give glory to God. Wouldn't it be awesome if all you people in the back row could get out of church first, got so anointed and saturated by the power of God because you're free to worship Him? Wouldn't it be awesome if everybody got cloven tongues of fire on their head and they begin to prophesy and begin to run around praising the Lord and whatever freedom God gave you that morning to do that? Wouldn't that be awesome if the whole church got hit like that one morning? No blabbering by some preacher, just arrested by the power of the Spirit and enjoying our spiritual freedom in the Lord, exercising praise and worship as we are unfettered and no restraints, because we're enjoying the freedom that Christ has given us. I am no longer condemned for the sins that I've committed. I am now forgiven. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am free. I am free. I can exercise my love and appreciation and glorifying God any way I want to. Why am I the only one doing this? It's good to be free, isn't it? Don't take it for granted. Because when you take it for granted, it cheapens the freedom. If you take it for granted, it's not worth anything. Appreciate it. Cherish it. Hold it close to your heart. Live free, but honor the freedom. Because it costs somebody everything. Freedom, not free. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. One of the pledges that you make, and I don't have it all, and I've done it on an official basis in a military setting or as a policeman or any officer of the law of any kind. But one of the things that they're asked to do is pledge their allegiance to the Constitution, the defense of the Constitution of this land. Jesus asks the same thing of us, but we're more readily understand this when in the context of our own citizenship. And so every military person, makes a commitment to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. We have only one enemy as a Christian. He uses many avenues, but as a Christian, we take a pledge to defend the name of Christ against one enemy, the enemy of our soul, Satan, Lucifer, prince of darkness. And the more we stand together to defend, the more we give it an opportunity for the next generation to be able to receive the great freedom that we have, that we possess here. You know what? Let's celebrate today. Part of our celebration, of course, is 25 years of ministry in this church. But also part of our celebration is 25 years free in Christ in this church. Free to worship without hindrance, without anybody making comments except the pastor about how you worship. I think God is about to unleash some awesome things in our midst. And through His power, through His glory, and through His grace, we're going to experience some things that are going to surprise us, but they're going to anchor us in our freedom. I think to be free, you need to exercise your freedom. So part of that is how we worship, and part of that is how we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to pray this morning that we'll do our best to be good citizens. And I know that there are things that happen to us as citizens that are not right. And that's why there are laws to protect us for that. Someday, when I'm about to retire, I'll tell you about an experience I had as the pastor of this church where I thought something unlawful happened to me. And I thank God for the freedom that we have, because that's what rescued me. So stay tuned. God is good. And I want us to pray thanks to the founders of this great land who listened to God, who didn't even start a session without praying for hours before they started a session and trying to put together the Declaration together and even the Constitution together. Pray for them, or thank them for that. Thank the soldiers and the policemen and everyone who stands on the wall to protect us. And thank God for the freedom we have spiritually to know Him, to receive eternal life from Him, to live freely for Him, even beyond the constraints of what this world requires of us. Because they can't take Christ away from you. Hello? Still with me? Hey, I'm going to feed you. So just hang in there. Nobody can take this away from you. Try. You cannot take Christ away from me. So we can defend without any worry. So pray with me if you'll do that. Father, we thank You for our freedom today. And we do not take it for granted. We believe that you inspired this great nation, and it has been a great, wonderful experiment in freedom. We've been the freest people in the world and probably in history. Even with the freedoms the Romans gave, we did not reach the freedoms that we have received in this land. Help us to guard them. Help us to be vigilant in our protection of the freedoms. And let us do our civic duty to defend the Constitution, even if that means voting people out of office, voting them all out of office. I don't know, whatever happens, Father, but we want you to guide us and direct us. And let us thank you again for the founders who listened, for those freedoms that we have possessed because of those who have sacrificed. But that this 4th of July, we are independent. We are a free nation. We're a sovereign nation among other nations. And we appreciate that, and we thank you for that. And we thank you more even for the freedom that Christ brings us. So on this 4th of July, we're going to celebrate our independence. We're going to celebrate the longevity of your ministry here, but we're also going to celebrate our spiritual independence as well. Free from bonds, free from the shackles that were once upon us, we're now free in Christ. And we love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before you rush the barbecuer, God bless the food and bless our fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Go for it. Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.